Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lions Watch, your one-stop shop for all things England. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Luke Moore.
This week, we're discussing the hot topic of England's right-back options. It's possibly the trickiest area of the squad to decide upon, but we'll give it a go. We also speak to Czech journalist Ondrej Zlamel about the Czech Republic, and we go back over England's efforts in the UEFA Nations League finals in 2019.
Well, that was the worst performance I've ever seen from an England team, ever. We were totally hopeless for 90 minutes.
It's another wretched night for England at a major tournament.
And did you also miss a left-footed player down the left side?
Yeah, but where is that player?
How are we going to win this tournament as England?
And England win on penalties!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. I knew at some point we'd have to discuss the right backs. And we were putting it off. I didn't. I just thought, just take all four.
We tried to get away with it by putting every single right back possible in our squad early on. People wouldn't let us get away with that.
And then Michael Richards on Match of the Day mentioned Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I'm like, the last thing we need is another name to the pile.
And himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So right backs it is. It's got to be done. It's a really fascinating discussion, though.
It is.
I think you know, we have to be very careful and show a little bit of self-awareness as England fans. Mm-hmm. I think we are already a laughingstock in international football occasionally. We can't really start complaining about the plethora of options we've got.
That's right.
It's just too hard. Make your mind up, England.
Yeah. Well, right back, as Southgate said, is an area that England are quite strong at. And I don't think anybody would disagree with that too much. The four candidates, really, for the squad are Trent Alexander-Arnold, Kieran Trippier, Kyle Walker and Reece James. All have great ability. They've all got pedigree.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Alexander-Arnold won the Champions League, of course. Kieran Trippier's about to win La Liga, hopefully. Mm. Hopefully. I say about to win. Don't want to jinx it for you, Kieran.
They've had a good season, whatever.
They've had a good season. He's been a big part of it. Kyle Walker, we know his quality. He's won the league with Manchester City. Reece James as well has been brilliant this season. And Walker and James will probably start the Champions League final. So this is what you're dealing with here. Mm. You are dealing with four right-backs who are international and Champions League quality. And not just that, like, latter stages Champions League quality, as they've all shown in their careers thus far. Yeah. So it is a very, very difficult choice indeed. So I think that he'll pick three, Southgate, for the squad. Obviously, you can only start with one, although back three and wing backs, remember, we'll talk about that. The form of Trent Alexander-Arnold has been much discussed of late. This calendar year, he has been very, very good. Liverpool fans have been doing their heads in because people are saying, well, but is his form dipping and on all this kind of stuff? There was a little bit of a dip, but my goodness, he's come back strongly. But the rumours are circulating that he will be the one to miss out.
Oh, you tapped into the loop?
I'm tapped into the England mainframe.
Yeah, okay. And that's what you're hearing.
And it is differing emotions being plugged into
that. Well, should we focus on them one at a time then?
So we're
going to start with Trent.
Let's do it.
I think everything you said there is accurate. I think, you know, we all know that he's better going forward than he is defensively. And Liverpool have had a difficult season for a number of reasons. I think one of them is the inertia that they felt after finally winning the league, which is perfectly natural. Obviously, that's been exacerbated in a huge way by the personnel they've lost. So what we're now seeing now, at the time of recording, ahead of the final game of the season, we don't know what's going to happen yet on the final day, but it looks as if Liverpool have timed their run back into the top four perfectly. Mm-hmm. And Alexander-Arnold's been a part of that. Mm. So you're right to say that his form has been improved. The problem with Alexander-Arnold, I think, is for me, is twofold. Mm-hmm. One of them isn't that he's actually his fault, and I'll come on to that. But the first point is that he doesn't really ever allay any fears about his defensive ability. Mm-hmm. Whenever he performs well, whenever we see him with a eye-catching performance or Liverpool win, or he does something, without exception, seems to be doing something going forward. A brilliant pass from the outside of his boot to perfect inch-perfect cross, or bombing off on the overlap and whipping across in, or scoring a goal, or a set piece, right? I can't think of... And I know we're not talking about centre-backs today, but bear with me very, very briefly. The other week, Connor Cody had an amazing performance for Wolves against Spurs. He was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they've had a terrible season, Wolves, by their own standards. Mm-hmm. But he really said, look, this is what I can offer defensively. Yeah. And
it was heartening to see that performance.
It was needed. Yeah. It was heartening. Mm-hmm. Trent's not really done that defensively. Mm-hmm. And the second point is, he's suffering from the idea that if something negative re-England happens to him, it's always a big story because he's seen as part of the furniture. Mm. And the reason he's seen as part of the furniture is because he's had such a good young career and he's done so much stuff at his club level and he's never really necessarily let England down. We must remember, and this is my second point, he's got 12 England caps. Mm. Only 12. This is not a Gary Neville. Mm-hmm. This is not, you know, on the other side of the pitch, Stuart Pearce. We're not talking about a 75 cap veteran here. Mm. You know, we're going to come and talk about Reece James in a minute, who's seen as being the new kid on the block, if you like. Mm-hmm. He's got six. Mm. Yeah, he's halfway to Trent already. So,
and a red card.
Well, quite. But we have to see Trent as the character, as the player at the stage of the career that he is. It's not his fault that he started so well, mm-hmm. and it's not his fault that when he's dropped off, he's been punished for it, and it's been a big news story. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, and the fact remains, defensively against a big team, and England are going to have to play a big team at some point. Do you trust him?
So, do you think the style of Liverpool's play, the way they're very sort of pressing, and we know what Klopp likes to do. That plays to his strengths quite clearly, because the idea is to give the fullbacks a lot of space, of course, and Robertson and Alexander-Arnold have exploited that superbly.
Yeah.
Liverpool, when they won the league and the Champions League, were magnificent. I know, different seasons, but they have been superb and very dominant in the way they play with the players that they have. England don't have a lot of players like that, and the idea of England being that dominant, that on the front foot, might go against Alexander-Arnold.
And also the fact that he's playing with his club, I mean, it's the same with all the players, obviously, but he's playing with his club and training with them every day. Mm-hmm. So the shapes they get to work on, mm-hmm. the system of playing they get to work on, it's very well drilled. Mm-hmm. I think football fans, I think, generally under kind of appreciate mm-hmm. how much different it is in international football.
Yeah.
We've seen managers in the past who mm-hmm. can't work with the players day to day. Yeah, Capello would be an obvious example. Mm-hmm. Not going to get what he wants out of them. Now, there could be other reasons for that. Mm. But the point is, if they play completely differently, which England do to Liverpool, and they don't get as much time to work on it, mm-hmm. it is a fact that's going to affect some players more than it's going to affect others. And I think it does affect him, yeah.
Well, and Trent has only really played fully, if you like, under Klopp. One particular amount off the top of my head. If I'm slightly wrong there, forgive me. But the bulk of his career. And that's a certain type of man, certain type of playing. Whereas even Reece James, you mentioned there, he's experienced Lampard and Tuchel. Very different men, very different tactics. And my goodness, he's been superb this season. He looks like a 50 cap sort of, not veteran, because he's a bit younger, of course, but he looks tenacious. He can cross, he can even shoot. I mean, that goal, was it at Brighton, was an absolute beauty. But it's not just, you know, he seems like he's got everything in his locker. He played in a back three recently. He's played wing back and he's played full back. He will almost certainly start the Champions League final. And when he's played for England, I was blown away just how comfortable he looked.
Yeah, he's a player, and hopefully you'll back me up on this, Marcus, because I do get many, many things wrong. But he's a player that I've seen from the very start and told you how good he could be. Yeah. Like, he's got everything in his locker. You can see he ticks all the boxes, right? Mm-hmm. So the obvious situation you have, I personally think it's fairly easy for a lot of players to pick out what they're not that good at, mm-hmm. because the standard is so high in football now. So if you look at Kyle Walker, if you accused Kyle Walker of anything, it'll be that he uses his pace to get himself out of trouble a lot.
Yeah.
Right? You can see that, obviously. Mm-hmm. Alexander-Arnold, we've talked about. Mm-hmm. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, what's he offering you going forward? Mm-hmm. He seems much more comfortable defending. You know,
he's still young as well.
True. Yeah, that's true. I haven't seen as much of Trippier this season because I don't watch as much football. So park him to one side for one moment. I don't think there's any real negative sides of Reece James's game. Perhaps maybe, it's a bit early to say, maybe his temperament. Everything else I think he can do. Mm. I think if you tell me now you've got to pick two right backs and you can only take two, I would take Walker and James.
Right.
Because I would have Walker as the 50-odd cap veteran who's been there and seen it and done it. And it's been amazing, despite the flaws that he's had. And I would take Reece James as a kind of next best option who you never know what he can do because he's not reached his ceiling yet. I don't think Reece James has got anything really, any obvious flaw in his game. And I've said that, and if people care enough, they can go back and listen to the ramble whenever. I said it at the time. He looks like he's got the lot. And I think he deserves to go chiefly because of the other things you've said about the Champions League final, about the fact that Chelsea under Tuchel have been so good defensively, and he's been a big part of that. Mm. So let's not forget as well, I think I'm right in saying that he's been able to usurp Azpilicueta from that right back position, where Azpilicueta's like captain of Chelsea, you know, and he's an amazing player and a great veteran. And I know he's coming to the end of his career, but even so, you've still got to go in there and do it. I mean, how difficult would that be in real terms for a young player to do in a senior pro at a big club like Chelsea? So, look, I think he's unfazed by most of it.
Yeah.
And I like his versatility as well.
I think you're right. When you say he's unfazed, he looks so confident. And as I say, just tenacious, dynamic, all those types of words. And versatile as well. Kyle Walker, I think we're agreed that he's in.
Yeah.
I'd be very, very surprised. He's got the experience. He's got a bit of versatility in terms of right back, can play in a back three if needs be. I mean, he even kept up with Kylian Mbappe in the Champions League.
Yeah. He
can even go in goal.
It bears repeating. It bears repeating, and we can't say it enough. He is so fast.
Yeah.
Like, Kyle Walker is still now so fast.
I can't believe his pace still.
I know.
I mean, I know he's, what is he, 30, 31? But still, I mean, he's still not that old. You want to be silly. He started against Albania and Poland.
He did. And the game before that was San Marino, and that was James, right?
Yes, that's right, yeah. So, again, whatever one may think, I think he's going, and I think he'll probably start at right back. So, again, with where he plays at club level, okay, he hasn't started every Premier League game for Manchester City this season, but Pep likes to rotate and he knows what he's going to get with Walker, and so does Southgate. So he's a bit of a banker. Kieran Trippier. With Trippier, he has started 27 games in La Liga. He's only been subbed off a couple of times. He's been a regular starter for Simeone. He missed 10 matches after being suspended for breaching betting rules. Mm. I actually think that goes in his favour because he's fresher. I know that sounds a silly thing to say, obviously not doing the actual act of what he got banned for, but in terms of not playing as many minutes, people talk about these positions and players like Walker and James mm-hmm. can play full seasons, although Walker hasn't started every game, so again, maybe a touch fresher. They go deep in the Champions League, they go deep in the Cups. Fatigue sets in, the human beings were crying out loud. Mm-hmm. Whereas Trippier, he had a bit of an unwanted break, it was, but still it was a break nonetheless. Mm-hmm. He's versatile, regularly plays wing back mm-hmm. for Atletico Madrid as well as full back. Mm-hmm. He played on the left for England in the 2-1 win at home against
Belgium.
He's
played on the left for Atletico as well.
Exactly, which is, I mean, you know, we got Chilwell and Shaw. I'm sure they'd have something to say about that, but he has done. Mm. He was on the bench for the matches against Albania and Poland. Experienced, again, we know what he can produce in tournaments, and well, in the tournament, the World Cup, point in case. I was sort of thinking to myself, well, he's out of sight, so okay, fine, maybe we'll just usher him away. But when you read what he's done and the team he's in, and a team who bloody love defending, lest we forget, despite them being top of the league, it's a very, very good option as well for Southgate.
It speaks to the situation, doesn't it? Because I read a journalist, I forget who it was now, earlier this week, saying that like if Trippier was left out of this squad, there wouldn't be much uproar in England. Now, the reason for that is because the fact that he's not playing in England, right? And there's so much choice. I think you do get situations we've mentioned in the past about how players improve their reputation through absence, but that only occurs when there's no one there to fill that vacuum, right? Yeah. We've obviously got a lot to fill that vacuum now, even though Trippier was the starting right back for England in the last tournament. The situation's changed a lot.
When the World Cup, not in the Nations League.
Sorry, the World Cup. Yeah. The major tournament. despite what you're going to tell me in a second. So unfortunately, and I've mentioned this once or twice in this series of shows, and I apologise, but I think I have to mention it again. International football should be of the nature that you're sometimes not going to play because other players are good. Mm. And there's been plenty of players down the years who have been fantastic that we've enjoyed watching. And the one that always springs to my mind is Ian Wright. You know, look at Andy
Cole. You're going to say Matt Letizia.
Well, perhaps not. Look at Andy Cole, for example. Uh-huh. How many caps did he get?
Les Ferdinand.
Not many. Les Ferdinand. All great players, great operators at the top level. Mm. Andy Cole scored a ridiculous amount of goals in the Premier League. Yeah. And for those who are too young to remember, he got stick all the time for being he needs six chances to score a goal. I mean, if that was the case, he would have got half the goals he got.
Yeah, yeah.
And he never made an impression for England. What's he got? I don't know off the top of my head, but I think he might have only scored three or four goals for England. Mm. So the history of England has been littered with players who didn't quite get the crack of the whip because there were just other players out there more suitable, or the timing wasn't right, or they got an injury in Ian Wright's case, for example, never represented England at a tournament. These things can happen.
Le tournoi, man.
Okay, sorry, yeah. And I think if Trippier does miss out, it'll be unfortunate because it's more than likely to be his last opportunity, although I know that the next World Cup will come around quite fast.
Sure.
He's already 30, but he has had a go at it. Mm. He's been there and done it.
To be fair, that's not Southgate's...
He's had a go on the unicorn. Yeah. Hey? And no one can take that away from him.
They'll always have the memories. I think Southgate will pick three of these players in his squad. That's what I think he'll do. Would you agree with that? Because you've got 26.
Yes, I do agree with that. And I think also because of Walker's versatility, if you play a back three, and as you've already said, Reece James can play wing back.
So from what you've said there, I'm guessing that you're going for Trippier, Walker and Reece James and leaving Trent Alexander-Arnold out.
I think I probably am, yeah. But I think that Alexander-Arnold's got time on his side. And I think the only reason for it, and I know I'll get hammered for it from Liverpool fans, and I'm kind of used to that, so that's fine. Mm-hmm. But it's because when you play a really big team, you need someone who's defensively really good. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually think Alexander-Arnold is brilliant defensively. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm the only person that thinks that.
You see, I have thought this, that your thinking was my thinking for a while, and then I thought to myself, you've got to leave one, maybe two, but we're going to go for one to make it less tricky. So again, we can't stress enough that all four of these players on merit, you know, you could make very, very strong cases for them starting, let alone going to the bloody tournament. Yeah. I actually, for the reasons that you've mentioned about Trent Alexander-Arnold's strengths, is one of the reasons why I might take him, actually. And I wouldn't start him. I would start Walker, and I'd probably take Trippier, maybe for old time's sake, I can't believe I'm saying maybe leave Reece James out because that seems ridiculously harsh. And
yeah,
he's such a great player. I can't stress that enough. But Alexander-Arnold, if England are needing something, if they are a goal down, I look at the options on the bench. Yeah, you've got some wide players. Whether Sancho starts or Sterling starts, you know, you've got options there, or Grealish off the bench if he takes him, which I hope he does. But actually, if England are really needing something going on the front foot, that's where I think Alexander-Arnold's strengths for England could lie in the summer.
Yeah. And I think yeah, to put it in, to wrap it up and to put it in perspective, we haven't even mentioned a £50 million right back who started 53 games for Man United this season, who are second. He's not even getting a mention. So that's how solid and how deep we are at that position. Mm. And so, you know, there are no right or wrong answers here. It's all just opinion.
Do forgive us, everybody.
Delph into Ali. Wilson trying to turn. Here's Sancho. Alexander-Arnold, 2-0 England. Two goals in less than 2 minutes. And it's the first in international football for Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This week at Sukarnov.
If you're wondering how Ashwood City Football Club dealt with the news of the European Super League, then binge the award-winning mockumentary The Offensive this summer.
I think a few of the players are considering taking to social media.
No, fucking no. Okay, turn off the fucking Wi-Fi for all I care. Tear down the 4G mark.
Patrick, you've got a Zoom call with the other 14 right now.
The 14? What?
The remaining Premier League clubs.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I don't want to talk to those fucking losers.
Or if you'd rather get stuck into a comedy film podcast, why not check out Clash of the Titles, the podcast where two films with something in common go head-to-head to decide which one is better. Their latest episode saw Red Heat up against Tango and Cash.
In both films, I think someone says, where did you learn to drive like that? Which no one ever says in real life. Oh, I had lessons. But a nice callback.
And your nan has. Your nan have asked that, haven't you? How many times did you take to pass? You passed first time. What about your written test?
All that and a whole lot more at Sakharnov.
It's time for England's evolution, everybody. We are focusing on the UEFA Nations League finals. Last time round, of course, we spoke about the group stages where England unexpectedly came through their group of Croatia and Spain, and then into another semi-final so soon after the last one. wasn't it lovely?
Habit forming, isn't it?
Yes. Of course, they faced the Netherlands in their semi-final, losing 3-1, and the host Portugal, they beat Switzerland 3-1 in the other semi-final. But England went into the match with the Netherlands in good spirits and in good form. Qualification for the Euros was underway. England had beaten the Czech Republic 5-0 and beaten Montenegro 5-1 away, scoring a lot of goals. And now England were firmly playing 4-3-3. That was the kind of style that Southgate wanted, a little bit more attacking, a bit more on the front foot, perhaps. There were some fresh faces coming in after the World Cup, largely the same, but the likes of Chilwell, he was now the regular left back. Jadon Sancho was getting some more minutes. And Declan Rice had switched allegiances from Ireland to England, much to the anger and annoyance to a lot of Irish people, understandably. But he was called up to the Nations League finals. And then we came. So it felt a little bit like a tournament. Luke, you're playing the Netherlands. Obviously, they were a bit rejuvenated themselves under Ronald Koeman. And it was a surprise for them to get through a very difficult group as well.
Well, their turnaround had been quite dramatic.
It had been quite dramatic. Yeah, absolutely right. The match ended in disappointment for England, of course. They did take the lead. And when you look back, you know, the midfield was made up of Delph, Barkley and Rice. It was a big ask for Rice. He did look a little bit out of his depth at times. Not too surprising, given that he'd only got two caps at that point. I think it was only his second start. Mm. But what did you think of the game? I mean, England weren't quite as good as the Dutch, ultimately.
No, but then they started the game. They looked like they wanted to play on the break, from what I remember. Yeah. And they started the game under siege, really. Mm-hmm. And then there was a mistake, wasn't there?
That's right.
De Ligt makes a mistake. Rashford nips in. He gives away a penalty. Rashford scores the penalty. Mm-hmm. And then you think, okay, well, this is kind of what we've been asking for when England play a good team. And Netherlands, like I say, their turnaround have been dramatic. They've got some brilliant players. And, you know, they obviously they came out on top, and I think England almost like wrapped their hand in it. Extra time, there was a mistake or two. But I felt like, you know, it's mixed emotions really for me revisiting it this week, because I felt like, as I've just said, like particularly for the first half, okay, they looked like the better team. They're dictating the pace and the tempo of the game, particularly through Frankie de Jong, who was, from what I remember, kind of really central to that. But we're sticking in there, and it's not the case that it has been in the past where we've got two banks of four and we're not offering anything. And Wayne Rooney's up there on his own 30 yards away.
Screaming at Paul Robinson.
And occasionally fouling people. It actually looked like the semblance of a plan. Yeah. And I think the Declan Rice point is a really good one. Chiefly because he did look a little bit like he was looking around a bit. Mm-hmm. But look how far he's come now.
Yeah.
It's unthinkable now, if he were fully fit, that he wouldn't start for England, and that he wouldn't be, you know, you'd hope. He's certainly, you know, I'm not being laughed out of the room for saying he could be a standout performer in the Euros.
Yeah, and also the two players he's with, you know, decent players, and they were there on merit, but they're no longer involved in the England setup now.
Quite.
So it wasn't the strongest midfields.
No. And then what did you make of the because England did get put under pressure at the back, and the goals, I think certainly at least one of them came from another mistake from England at the back trying to play out. Now, the reason I'm asking this question is because we haven't talked about this very much on the Ramble or on this show, about the idea that we seem to see rear guard mistakes happening a lot now, whether it be a defender or a goalkeeper. And I think, and we talked about it briefly, I think, certainly no more than that, maybe a year or two ago, about how a Guardiola or a Klopp will say, do you know what? I'll take the occasional mistake because I want to play in this way. And it's the cost of doing business.
Rather than constant mistakes of giving the ball away.
Exactly. Or you know, making everything a 50-50 when you put the ball up in the air and it's who's got the strongest or best header of the ball. Now, that's all well and good, and I accept that and I totally get it. Mm-hmm. And it would be a really reactionary thing to do, to be like, oh, well, you know, you can't make these mistakes. But at international level, there is no season long for it to be worth it in the averages, right? You haven't got 38 games. Mm-hmm. If you get to a knockout stage, as we saw in this game, whether you think it's a major tournament or not, that might, if you like Marcus, that'll be dependent on how well England do. But you're out. That's it, you're out. Yeah. So you make that mistake in extra time, it's out. Carl Walker scores an own goal through some weird scuffle.
I mean, he was so unlucky. I mean, Pickford and Walker nearly bailed Stones out with dreadful error.
And therefore, and I'm pleased you said the word Stones, because that rears its head again.
Yeah.
Now, I saw a survey this week saying that asking subscribers to a website to pick the players they want to go to the Euros. Mm. And I think it was something like over 99% of people surveyed pick Stones. Mm. So he's popular. Yeah. People want him to go. People accept his mistakes. They think he's the best selection along with Maguire.
I mean, he's been playing in this Manchester City side. I know Ruben Dias has been next to him. But
now player of the year, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he is one of England's best centre-halves. There's no two ways about that. And I mean, Jamie Carragher after the game, it was really doing his head in. He's saying it's not playing out or from the back that's caused these mistakes. Mm. It's a very, very poor decision from John Stones.
He said
he's got options. He's dilly-dallying, and
it was
really stupid,
unforgivable.
Yeah, really, really stupid. And then the second goal, the third goal, should I say, second goal in extra time. He plays a ball to Barkley. I mean, should he play it to Barkley? Barkley did offer himself, but then Barkley just hands it to, was it Memphis Depay, who then squares to Promise, it was, and he scores. And it's an absolute sort of almost a capitulation. But the bigger takeaway from that game is that again, England, yes, you can isolate certain facts about this game and say, well, actually, we gifted them two goals. Otherwise, it was pretty pretty even in some senses. You know, the possession stats were fairly even as well. But England, they just looked unimaginative. And it's that kind of playing in straight lines. Where's the movement off the ball? Where are the options? And that this is an age-old thing with England. The only time they had a moment where they actually moved the ball quite well and nicely, Jesse Lingard scores and bastard VAR chalked it off. Now, you'd probably say now, oh, well, he was a shoulder offside. And of course, that's...
But I think your point is, though, with England looking as you've just described them, are you talking about... Because for me, there's two ways of looking at it. Yes, they've been unlucky with VAR with the Jesse Lingard non-goal. But and you're saying they look unimaginative and it's all quite straight lines. Mm-hmm. But actually, that move was amazing. Mm. It was a brilliant piece of play.
Yeah.
And it showed that they're capable of it at the right time, and they have to make the decisions about when the right time is. Mm. But if you can play like that, you can win games.
Yeah, and so that's the kind of, I suppose, the encouraging thing.
These goals that Netherlands scored, arguably all three of them come from mistakes. Mm. You've got the Stones thing.
Well, you've
got
the Barkley thing. Goal as well.
And you've got you've got the De Ligt one as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he goes to the near post and powers a header home.
Yeah.
It's a great header. And, you know, he obviously wanted to atone for his earlier mistake. And he's a good player, De Ligt. Mm-hmm. And he's a danger from set pieces. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't great defending.
No, it wasn't great defending. But it went in. And that's the thing, is it's these perhaps lapses of concentration. But you can see England, this section's about. You can see the evolution. You can see trying to iron out these things. Mm. Right, don't get the ball and just lump it long. You know, a few pundits said that. It was nice to see England not just sort of smashing it hopeful and long, which is ridiculous in this day and age. We're still saying, wasn't it good they didn't just hit it and hope?
Yeah.
But it shows you that the evolution of this England, trying to kind of kick in and scream and get them to play in a certain way. Jamie Redknapp said after the game that he cited the likes of Foden and Maddison coming through, who like to receive the ball on the half turn and be a part of England evolving and improving their style and quality of play. Well, you get what he means.
Yeah.
And now Southgate has some of these players. Maddison, I don't think, will go, but he has some of these players, which you think, right, now try and play like that a bit, I suppose. I mean, very quick mention, off the pitch, there was some trouble with England fans, which you think, oh, blimey, that's a...
Something that will not evolve.
Sadly, yes. Yeah. We need a lot of evolution there, for crying out loud. But England, they played Switzerland in the third place playoff, and the game finished 0-0 after extra time and went to penalties. I mean, England dominated the game.
The game was mad. It was quite mad. I've never seen a game with more times hit the woodwork. I'll challenge anyone listening to this to find me another game where the woodwork's hit more times.
There was a fair few, wasn't there? I mean, Callum Wilson was denied a goal by VAR. Mm-hmm. I think it was a slight handball or foul or something. But, you know, England dominated the game and another day would have won.
Well, Jan Sommer was in amazing form.
He was, yeah.
He made two of the best saves you will ever see.
He was very good in goal. Yeah. So fair enough. But the game goes to a penalty shootout.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking at the time, don't lose this, because I don't think it would completely undo, obviously, the penalty shootout win against Colombia, but if you can win this, it's just another example that England have. And the pressure was off. It's a third place match in a tournament that people some don't consider a major tournament, you know. But either way,
depends if we win or not.
Absolutely. Yeah. But either way, the pressure was off, definitely. But what I found so interesting with the England fans in the end that they took the penalties, it was a carnival like atmosphere. Yeah. And the feeling was, oh yeah, we've got this.
Yeah.
Now I might be interpreting that. I am interpreting that in my own way.
Yeah.
But that certainly was the feeling. And in a weird way, if you know what I mean by this, England never looked like losing that shootout.
No, and I think it's a really important point to make, chiefly because England dominated the game. Jansson was in inspired form. They changed the shape slightly, played a 4-2-3-1, and changed the personnel. Mm-hmm. Quite a lot of them, from what I remember. Yep. You had Dyer and Delph at the base of the midfield, and you had Lingard started and all the rest of it. Mm. But the point being, Marcus, I think you make a good point, is that if England had dominated a game in the tournament and it had been 0-0, the default position for an England fan of a certain age would be, well, we're going to lose on penalties now, because that's how it goes.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And it wasn't like that because the damage had been... because the die had been cast with what they did against Colombia. Mm. It was no longer anything to fear. Mm-hmm. You know, we did one of the most European things you can ever do and get our goalkeeper to take a penalty.
Love that.
That is a swagger.
Yes. Yeah.
I think Pickford's far too busy as it is, and the last thing he needs to be doing is doing that. But to be fair to him...
Lovely one.
He saved the next one.
Yeah, so not the next one, it was the next book.
The one after.
But he was the hero.
Yeah.
Once again. I mean, all out of the six takers, only Eric Dyer was involved in the shootout against Colombia, but all six scored. And again, I think that's just...
But Dyer's also scored the decisive one.
Yes, he did, yeah.
This time, and against Colombia.
He's the man of the moment.
He's got to go.
Which is why he needs to be there. but it restored a little bit of pride and just kept a little bit of momentum for Southgate. And I think it was important to win that penalty shootout. Apparently, they were handed their third place medals in just a plastic bag. They are, lads, well done.
Pre-COVID as well.
It was, yeah. But I think the final shows that if England wanted to become a more attacking team and express themselves a bit more... than they had done in the World Cup, of course. There was work to do, and there is work to do. They don't have a player like Frankie Dion who can dictate the play and whatnot. And they did lack a little bit of movement and options in midfield, and a little bit off being considered one of the best teams in international football.
Yeah, but I think, you know, if you view it in the round, you come through a tough Nations League group, Croatia and Spain. We talked about that already. You were of the opinion that Spain and Croatia took it seriously. You know, so England went through and they got through to the semi-final. And the semi-final, as we just discussed, has been decided on fairly fine margins. Mm. And then they go through and have a good account of themselves and kind of pick up the third place. Great. That's one step further than they went in the World Cup in a different situation, admittedly. But it brings us full circle, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Because Southgate plays Alexander-Arnold against Switzerland. Mm. Doesn't see them as being a huge threat. They've got some good players, but, you know, it's not the end of the world to pick Alexander-Arnold. Who does he pick against Netherlands? Kyle Walker. Mm. Because he knows what Netherlands are capable of. And I wonder if anything's changed from then to now or whether we'll see a similar type of thing. And that kind of attitude towards Alexander-Arnold won't only cost him a starting berth for England, it might cost him his place in the squad as well.
There we are. Well, ahead of Euro 2020, Gareth Southgate will be prepping his side for the group games, including one against the Czech Republic. I recently spoke to Czech journalist Ondrej Zlamel about Jaroslav Šilhavý's team, who beat England in the Euro qualifiers, of course, in 2019. Andre, the Czech Republic, in the last 3 years, they've had quite a successful time. In 2018, they failed to qualify for the World Cup in Russia. And as if my memory serves me correctly, they weren't in a particularly good place. And they then hired Jaroslav Šilhavý to become the national team manager. And since then, they've qualified for the European Championships, of course. And they finished top of their group in the UEFA Nations League. It seems he's improved the team.
He changed the atmosphere in the team. Now, the team was not successful at the European Championship 2016 in France. Peter Cech resigned, Tomáš Rosický resigned, some other players. They ended their career and there was a new generation coming in. And Jaroslav Šilhavý just got the momentum of the young players, the momentum of Slavia Prague, team that is unbeaten Czech champions who play modern style of football, attacking football, positive side. He changed the atmosphere also in the team, invited some other players, and he's doing well. As you said, he improved the results, and after being beaten 5-0 at Wembley against England, since that time, I think it was the turning point that the results improved. He's supporting a kind of attacking football, like maybe you have noticed, like Slavia Prague played against Leicester and Arsenal. There's... Mm-hmm. Attacking football with the left back, right back playing as wingers, supporting the attack a lot. There are two active wingers. There's a lot of players supporting attack in the penalty box, but they are still capable to return to defensive block. And the symbol of this change is Tomáš Souček, the West Ham midfielder, who was transferred from Slavia to England, who becomes the new leader. He's a deputy captain, he says. He likes the spirit of the team and he represents the new generation that wants to be successful, is hungry to be successful. And if we talk about the quality of the Czech Republic, they might have some little problems in the defense, might be looking for number one forward, but still they will be difficult side to play it against for everybody.
Yeah, that's the impression that I've got. Obviously, you've seen them a lot more than I have. But this side, they don't have some of the big names that we've seen previously with Czech sides, but they look like a very cohesive unit. They've got a strategy and a formation and they have a plan. And they look like a team who, despite that 5-0 against England, as you say, which seems a long time ago now, and I don't think that would happen again personally, they seem quite a hard team to beat.
This is when they say about the main star of the team, they always say teamwork. It's teamwork. Mm. You know, Tomáš Souček, you know him. This is the tall guy from West Ham who is
able to win
every ball which is flying away and running from the first minute to the 19th minute. Amazing guy. I've seen him playing for Slavia since he was like 14, and now it's amazing what he has achieved. And this guy, he scored a hat-trick against Estonia in the recent World Cup qualifier. Mm-hmm. He got the ball and he had it signed by all the teamwork, all the staff and all the team, like everybody had to sign it. And he kept it among his biggest trophies, because this is just a little detail, but what he feels is just, this is not the achievement of my individual, I'm not a star, but this is a team achievement. And this is what represents these players who come there. They are ready to work for the team. There's not a one player that we like Patrick Schick from Leverkusen, that everybody would try to pass the ball to him to score. They are always trying to create chances with one-touch football, quick counterattacks, set pieces. And then they're never playing for one person. Not there are not the big stars. Like in the past, we had Milan Baroš. In the past, we had Tomáš Rosický. Now it's not. It's not like that. This is the team.
Mm. You've mentioned obviously Souček and briefly Schick there, who I'm sure most neutrals would think they're the standout players. I mean, we know Kufal and Vidra as well playing in the Premier League. Which other players do you think could surprise people from the Czech Republic and turn a few heads in the summer?
You mentioned Soufal. Yeah, he's the teammate from Tomáš Souček, and they are like really good friends, and they have opened the door for Premier League for the other Czech players, and they are nice guys, and they also bring the atmosphere from a successful club back to the team. There's Jakub Jankto. He's a former Souček player, teammate from Slavia Youth, who plays as a winger, and he plays with left and right foot, and he takes the corners. He provided several assists to Souček. He could be another one. There could be Alex Král, also former Slavia player, who used to be a central defender, but now he was moved to midfield. He plays for Spartak Moskva. He gets a lot of minutes playing there. He could be the star, but there are some others. We may be surprised by the names like Holeš or Masopust, who play for Slavia in this fantastic season they have had so far. There's one drawback. There was Lukáš Probot. He got this is the guy who scored away against Leicester. He was one of the biggest rising stars of Czech football, and like he would have definitely been in the starting 11 against England and in the Europe against Scotland for all the games. But he got injured. He injured his knee badly, and he's now out till the end of the year. I think he has to undergo an operation.
Mm. The obvious question, I suppose, I'm going to ask you is that they qualified for the European Championships in a group which, of course, also featured England. Now, England won 7 out of the 8 games in that group, with their only loss coming, of course, to the Czech Republic, which was the second game they played against each other. You saw, from an English point of view, you could see the improvement from, you know, the 5-0 was quite easy for England. Then, of course, they go and lose. Are you confident that they could do that again to England?
That was a big cheer up for them. And I spoke to Gareth Southgate, actually, after the game. We had an interview in the Flash, and I asked him about the change between the Czech Republic And he answered something like it was playing a different team, like it was different, different side. Yeah, and I think it's good because it's going to be an open football. They are not going to attack against defensive blocks. So just they are capable to repeat that. And I have seen it recently when they played Belgium. And when the game against Belgium ended 1-1, Lukaku equalized in the second half, and like the coaches and the players of Belgium said, they were happy to get a point out of this. It's just they repeated a similar kind of performance as they did against England, against Belgium, which is one of the best sides in the world. If they have a lucky day, if they don't make stupid mistakes in the defense, they are capable to play. Or they will. I'm sure they will try to play like that, like they played against England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for England, it would be tempting for an England fan to think, well, Czech Republic, you know, England should beat them. But actually, in a way, that loss to the Czech Republic is something that both managers could use.
It was a very funny story about that. You see, actually, at the draw, when it was drawn against the other, Southgate met Chilavi, and Southgate said, again. It was like he was not very happy seeing him again, this guy, you know, just... like it was like he's a nice guy. He wouldn't say anything bad, but he was just saying again. You know, I had a feeling when I heard the story that I had a feeling that they would have preferred to playing somebody else in the group. But it's I mentioned that after Belgium. I said to Chilavi, I asked him, did you have the same feeling as against England after defeating England? And he said, no, this team was even better. The way we played against Belgium, there was more teamwork. There was no chance goal. The winner was partly like it was not a worked, you know, very built up goal. But he said his feelings were better than after beating England.
Finally, Andre, what do you think of this England side going into the tournament? There is hope and expectation in England. Of course, there's some good players. There's also some worry about certain injuries and whatnot. So people in England, they're sort of a bit confident, but they're also wary that we've been confident before and it's not happened. So what do you think of this England team?
Well, my first tournament was back 1976 when Czechoslovakia won, then 78 Argentina, 82. And I was supporting England since that time because I just saw that the Premier League or the top English division is the best league in the world. So just
it should produce
the bunch of players that should lift the trophy.
You know, of course.
I think this when I spoke about the Czech Republic, it can be also said about England. You've got the players like Foden, Rice, Mount, a lot of young players, you know, who are hungry for the success. And I expect them to be one of the favorites, not just to qualify from the group, but to reach the final and win it. When else, you know, you've got the semi-final, 6th and 7th July, London, Wembley, mm-hmm. then the mm-hmm. 11th of July, Wembley final. When else do you want to lift the trophy? That's the right time.
Well,
if you miss that one, what else do you want?
But the England missed in Euro 96 and the Czechs didn't,
you
see?
I know, because of...
Maybe it's Czech Republic's year. Maybe it's they'll get to the final and they'll do it at Wembley. Uh-huh. But they didn't do it in 96, maybe this year.
Oh, yeah, that's different. That's a different team. But there was when I spoke to Lukáš Masopus, I mentioned this because I had a chance because of my work to them. They might be inspired by that. By the way, they might be inspired by this because they know it's 1996. It was a very famous final. So just the players will know about that. And probably the coach will use it and will show the shoulder... Show them the video from the phone finals. They know it.
Andre, thank you very much for talking to us. It's been interesting and enlightening on the Czech Republic scene.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Andre. Well, there we are.
A great bit of insight about what to expect.
Absolutely right.
Try to deliver to our listeners, whether it's a Croatian expert or a Czech Republic expert,
yeah.
or dare I say a Scottish expert.
Yes.
A nice bit of insight from Andre there. Thanks
indeed,
to him
yeah.
for joining us.
Well, and as I sort of briefly made the point there, that both managers will use that 2-1 victory from the Czech Republic in 2019. The Czechs will use it as to say we can beat these,
can do it, yeah.
and England will say, "Oi, they've beaten us before." Get your head on.
Exactly.
Absolutely right. Well, thank you very much for listening to Lions Watch, everybody. We'll be back next week when we will know Gareth Southgate's squad after the big announcement on Tuesday.
Yeah. Here's to the right backs.
It'll
be a nerve-wracking time for them, wouldn't it? Over
it
the next
be.
Few days.
Really...
So our heart goes out to them, but fingers crossed that people get the result they're after.
Indeed. See you next week.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.